أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: الأخلاء بعضهم الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: المرء على دين خليله وقرينه. وقال علي بن الحسين زين العابدين عليه الصلاة والسلام: جالسوا أهل الدين والمعرفة، فإن لم تقدروا عليهم فالوحدة آنس وأسلم. صلوات. We have been talking about the subject of مكارم الأخلاق. That means the high moralities and the exalted ethical attributes of our beloved Prophet and the Imams, which actually are the sifat and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we as humans were created and we are supposed to be reflecting those attributes of Allah in our spirituality. By becoming the mazhar and reflection of those sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will provide us the spiritual perfection and which will empower us to do what we want to do in this life. Just like the people in the paradise, as they would enter into the paradise, they will be eligible to do all what they want to do. And that's why our Urafa say that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim min al-Abd bimanzilati kun min al-Rabb. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which is said by a servant of Allah, stands at the same level, the level of the word kun, than said by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although Allah does not even require to say the word, this is just an expression how the languages are so limited that we have restrictions in our expression when we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although in the real sense He does not even require to say be. إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, He wishes to do something, He just says be, and it is. And the same will be the situation for all the people in paradise. Whatever they would wish to do, they would be eligible to achieve just by wishing, just by willing. And that situation which is going to happen for the people in paradise is nothing because of the fact that they became mazhar of the same sifat and attributes of Allah through which He is running the whole universe, and those attributes are nothing but His essence. And that is what we were supposed to do in this world before entering the paradise after the Day of Judgment. And these sifat, these moralities of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are being defined in the Holy Quran and in the ahadith and traditions of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And tonight we will talk about ittikhadh as-sadiq. That means choosing a friend in our life. And this is, like I said earlier already, one of those points which are less talked about in our majalis, and that's why I am intentionally mentioning these points. Because Muharram and Safar are the best days where we have the opportunities to discuss these issues. Choosing a friend is one of the values of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, which they have been stressing a lot in their ahadith, and Quran has already made it clear that al-akhillau yawma'izin ba'dhuhum li-ba'dhin aduwun. All the friends on that day are enemies towards each other. Every friend that you make in this world, when you reach the Day of Judgment, every friend of yours will be your enemy. إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Except those people whose friendships were based on taqwa. Any friendship that you make in this world, your companions, your friends with which you hang out and stay and live and talk, spend your time with them, whatever level of friendship you may have, all of them are your enemies. It's blatantly announced by the Holy Quran. All of your friends are your enemies, except for those of the friendships which were founded on the foundation, which is the strongest foundation, and that is the foundation of taqwa and piety. And that's the purpose of making a friend in Islam, that we need to improve in our piety, we need to improve in the fear of God, and the friends are supposed to be helpers towards each other so that they may attain higher levels of piety. So at the time we choose a friend, he has to be pious, and if he is not a pious, we are not entitled to consider him as a friend. Instead, we are supposed to do amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar towards him. Until he reaches a level of piety and taqwa, which is like all the rest of the attributes of Islamic knowledge of morality in ilmul akhlaq, every attribute that we discuss in ilmul akhlaq is not something which is found in the outer world. It's something found in the batin, in the soul of the person, and it's nothing but nur. Every attribute that we are discussing tonight, and what we may not discuss tonight, every ethical value of Islam is the nur and light found in your soul. It's not something that is found in the outer world. You can never find the Islamic moralities in the outer world. You can find its effects in the outer world. Morality is never found in the outer world. They are found in your soul. You find their asar. You find its effects in the outer world. If you are sahi, you are generous, the effects, the symptoms would appear in the outer world. But the attribute itself is nothing but nur, which is found nowhere but in your soul. Because the hometown of all the ethical values of Islam are the soul, and that is the food for the soul. That is the food for the soul with which our souls find peace and satisfaction. And I already mentioned that soul is an existence which was provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it arrives from the non-material, metaphysical world, alamul amr, alamul tajarrud, and that is why if we want our soul to find peace and satisfaction, we must, once and for all, we must understand that any material blessing can never, ever, ever provide satisfaction to your soul. And the problem with the people in this world is that since they are interacting so much with the material existences around them, when it comes to their soul, they would like to treat this soul with the same rules and formulas and principles of the material world or the blessings of the material world, and they treat their soul the way they are treating their bodies. And that's why they can never find satisfaction, because the hometown of this soul was not the material world. It's never created from the world of matter. Soul is not material. Soul is something which is brought into our bodies and confined into our bodies. It is something which came from the non-material world. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ قُلِ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. They ask you about the soul. Say that the soul is from the alamul amr of my Lord. عَلَمُ التَّجَرُّدْ. That's the non-material world. You must understand. It's a very fundamental principle of Islam. And that's why we need to be in touch with the Ghaib. That's why we need the Prophets. That's why we need the Imams. So that they connect our souls with the unseen world, so that we get information and ma'arif and high level teachings of the unseen world, which are never available in the material and seeable world. And we achieve those teachings through the representatives of Allah and apply on our souls so that they get connected with their hometown. That's the entire theme of Islam. And none of the scholars or researchers in this world, or scientists in this world, or any of the material existences around us in this society can ever dare to claim that we can treat the soul and provide satisfaction to the soul, because nobody knows anything about the soul except what we learn from the Prophets and Ahlul Bayt. No other than them, by breaking away from them, no one can claim that I know the soul, and so I am eligible and entitled to provide the food for the soul, or to empower you with teachings that are going to benefit your soul. No one on earth can claim that. No matter we reach on the moon, or we reach to the planet X, it's nothing to do with the soul. Because any of the material achievements in this world have nothing to do with your soul. And you still stand in need towards your spiritual fathers, and no one can make you rich, no one can make you, to reach a level where you are totally, you don't stand in need of spiritual teachings at any stage of your life, no matter what you achieve in this world. So that's why we require companions, because a human is such when we live, when we sit, when we talk with people, when we interact with people, we get influenced. Because we have vacuums in our spirituality. We have gaps in our spirituality. We are not that strong in our faith and iman and our values and principles. We are not that strong in the Quranic value system which has been defined very clearly in the Holy Quran. We are not in sync with that. We are not familiar with Quran. So that's the reason we have vacuums. And when we have vacuums, what the friends do, they come and fill up that vacuum, and that creates problems and backfires us and spoils our career and future. That's why we find in the seerah and tradition of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, they were very peculiar and very much particular about choosing their friends. They had their friends. Look at those people with which the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt used to sit and talk and spend their time, and you would realize the importance of what I am talking tonight. They are very particular about this, and they have been stopping us from making friends that affect our spirituality. And Quran has said, وَقَيَّثْنَا لَهُمْ قُرَنَا فَزَيَّنُوا لَهُمْ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَحَقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَوْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we learn in the light of this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are some people on earth for whom Allah provides friends and companions who, what they do, what these companions do, they present the evil things in the form of good, and that's how they overturn the whole phenomena. And now these people, because of being subjected to such friends, and these friends present the evil things in the form of good things, and they consider them to be good, and that's how they become deserving of the wrath and punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the punishment arrives, these people are never saved. Tomorrow no one can say, well, I didn't do it, my friend who was telling me. Actually, in the time of the Holy Prophet, before the Battle of Badr happened, there were two friends, Ubay and Aqaba. And by the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the propagation of the Holy Prophet, Aqaba converted into Islam. So Aqaba became a Muslim. But his friend Ubay, he was a mushrik, he was an idol worshipper, and he kept on influencing his friend Aqaba and trying to bring him back. And after a lot of influences, Aqaba again, he became an apostate and he converted back to shirk. And after becoming a mushrik, the Battle of Badr happened, and he came to fight against the Holy Prophet and Muslims and Islam, and he got killed in the battle. And that verse of the Holy Quran arrived on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that ya laytani ittakhadtu yawma wa yawma ya'azzu adh-dhalimu 'ala yadayhi yaqulu ya laytani ittakhadtu ma'a ar-rasul ya laytani ittakhadtu ma'a ar-rasul sabila ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. I wish I would not have chosen that person to be my friend. Of course, the sha'n al-nuzul for this verse is related to that story, like our scholars have said in Tafsir, but the verse, the Shani Nazul, never restricts the application and implication of any of the ayats of Holy Quran, except those of the ayats which are specific to some personality, like some ayat, like, you know, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَافِعُونَ, which refers to the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, because he was the only person who gave the ring during the ruku position, during the prayers, to that poor person who was begging inside the masjid of the Holy Prophet. And this verse refers to only one incident of a kind that happened, and that is precisely why this verse of Holy Quran can never ever be applied to any person or even any of the Imams other than Imam Ali alayhi salam. Because this verse is specific to him only. So other than those kinds of verses which are really specific to someone, all the rest of the Shan and Nuzul does not at all restrict the application of any verse. It can be applied on others. So, we understand that Islam has very strict rules about choosing a friend, and Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam has said in his hadith that Janisu Ahl al-Din wal-Ma'rifa, sit along with those who have Deen and Ma'rifat, those who have religion, those who are religious people, and those who have Ma'rifat. Jalisu Ahl al-Din wal-Ma'rifa, wa in lam taqdiru alayhim, and if you could not find them, if you are unable to hang around with the religious people and those who have the ma'rifat, فَالْوَحْدَةُ anaf wa aslam. In that case, staying alone is more secure for you than hanging around with anyone else. And it's more familiar, it's more in sync with the teachings if you stay alone. At least you're not inviting any harm in your way. Some people say we could not find people. There's a lot of peer pressure, especially in the Western culture, in the Western schools and colleges and universities. The youth are encountering peer pressures, and there are so many people who get derailed from the faith. They were very nice people when their parents brought them from different Islamic countries, or maybe if they are born in these countries, still, initially they were not like this, but as soon as they enter into that situation where their friends and peers starting influencing their behaviors and their beliefs, we find very nice persons were sidetracked and derailed from the path, and now the guy doesn't even wake up for further prayers. Now the guy starts making fun of some rulings of Islam. And Quran has already said, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتِ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ. When you find people who make fun of our signs, then turn away from them. You're not supposed to even, even sit with them for a moment. When the people of Jahannam will enter the paradise, they will be asked, Can you tell us what is the reason, what caused you to enter the hellfire? And Quran is narrating the story. Quran says that when they will be asked, Quran is informing us, when they will be asked about the reason why did you end up in the hellfire, they will reply back the reason. And this is an eye-opener for every human being. So those are the people who will dwell the hellfire. When they will enter the hellfire, they will be asked, let us know the reason, what caused you to enter here, to come here, to end up with this situation. And they will reply, لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. The first thing, we never used to pray. وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ. And we used to sit and talk with those people who were engaged in batil and falsehood. So if you sit around with those people who are engaged in batil, those people who make fun of Allah, fun of Quran, fun of the teachings and values of Ahlul Bayt, they make fun of hijab, they make fun of taqleed. There are a lot of people who are doing that. They're not less in number. And unfortunately, we are finding these things to be on the increase, because actually we find a book published from Lahore, at the same time a book is published from Karachi, at the same time a book is published from Hyderabad in India, and then at the same time a book is published from Lucknow. Four different authors, apparently four different books with four different names, but you look at all the four books, the theme of all the four books is one, and that is to damage and root out the concept of Walayat al-Faqih and Taqleed in Islam. So what would be a sane person who is not mad, what would a sane person derive logically out of this scenario? Four different books from four different cities from four different authors having one agenda. That means those of the imperialist powers who are running the shots, those bosses who are running the shots, they are one, who have one agenda against Islam, and asking different puppets to do the job. So, because they receive the biggest damage in their history from the wilayat of Faqih, from the central leadership. Who else stood up and challenged their hegemony on earth? So are they stupids? So they are asking different people in different ways. There are flyers distributed in different Islamic centers in the US against Taqleed. And that's nothing new. As Humphrey, the British spy, he has already written in his book, you know, we cannot stop the Shia. As far as the Shia religion is concerned, the Sunnis are easy to handle because they don't have no leadership phenomena available. But the Shias, we cannot tackle them unless you damage the concept of leadership in the Shias. It's nothing new. It has been openly written and published. So what I was telling you is that Islam is very specific. When Imam Sajjad al-Islam, it says, Jalisu the enemies of Islam have never changed their course of action. What you are witnessing today from Denmark, and not just from Denmark, that's something that has been done by whole bunch of other European countries, and those who didn't do, maybe they also at heart believe in the same thing, a lot of them. It's nothing new. That's something which has been told over and over again by the Holy Quran to us, and we must understand the policy defined by the Holy Quran towards them is very clear. We are supposed to open up our eyes and realize once and for all what are we supposed to do. They are doing what they are supposed to do. That's what they are supposed to do, because they are what they are. We are the ones who made mistakes in understanding. We never do violence, and we hate violence. We are the subject of the worst kind of violence, and we are the subject of terrorism. Islam does not do no terrorism. We are the subject of terrorism and violence, and we are the victims. We are the victims of insult and obscenity in the name of freedom. Although freedom is never a license to obscenity. The Muslims should open up their eyes and unite. I mean, what kind of Islam do we have if we are here to tolerate the insult of the highest personality, the highest human, and the most superior messenger created by Allah is here to be insulted, then what is the value of the whole world? Who are we? And this is what they are testing our haya and ghairat. How do we behave and interact? Isn't that again, it's our haya and ghairat versus beghairati and behayai. Values against valuelessness. That's exactly what we were talking in these nights. The same values of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, which are supposed to be part of our soul, that empowers us to get connected with the unseen world, not to get attached with the material blessings of this world and start worshipping the matter and material interests. That's what they are worshipping. Their material interests. So, brothers and sisters, Imam Sajjad has clearly said, Jalisu Ahl al-Din wal Ma'rifah. Sit with the religious people, Ahl al-Din, and Ma'rifat. Ma'rifat is a word which is not my subject to elaborate, but since it has arrived in this hadith, I will certainly mention one sentence about it and move forward. Ma'rifat is the highest asset that we may attain in our life, and this asset is generated by two factors. Two elements generate ma'rifat. We need to have two things so that we can attain ma'rifat. The first is ilm and the second is amal. First is we need to acquire the knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, and second of all, We need to practice what we learn. If we have the knowledge and we practice what we learn, whatever you have learned by now, up till this date, did you practice that much? Ask this question to your own self. If you have practiced all what you have learned by now, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He will do, He will provide ma'rifat of that level of your ilm and amal into your soul. And when that ma'rifat, which is a light and nur that arrives from Allah into your soul, that ma'rifat comes in your soul, that will further oblige you to seek the higher level of knowledge. And you will go for a further higher level of knowledge, because knowledge is limitless. Ilm is the Allah is Aleem, He's all knowledgeable. And Aleem is Ayn al-Zaat. The sifat of Ilm is Ayn al-Zaat. It's nothing but the essence of Allah. Since the essence of Allah is unlimited, His knowledge is also unlimited. The same Aleem is Allah, and the same Allah is Aleem. So when Allah's essence is unlimited, His knowledge is also unlimited. When the same Hay is Allah, and the same Allah is Hay. When Allah is unlimited, His hayat and life is also unlimited. And likewise, all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are nothing but His essence. So ilm is unlimited. You will go for a further high level of knowledge, and that further high level of knowledge will oblige you to act over it. If you act, fine. Allah will give you further high level of ma'rifat. Because ma'rifat is always, remember this point, is generated through two factors, ilm and amal. Never expect having ma'rifat without practicing what you know by now. And if you don't know, you got to know first. Islam is a religion which is so clear about knowledge. Prophet has said, in Islam, it's not just a law. It's not just a law of the state or something. It's a divine obligation. Islam is a religion in which learning knowledge is a divine obligation. And you go to any country on earth, they can never oblige a child to learn unless he reaches the age of learning. 4 years or 5 years or 6 years. That's the age of learning in different countries. But Islam is the only religion which did not fix the age for learning. Because our Holy Prophet has said, أُطْلُبُ الْعِلْمَ مِنَ الْمَهْدِ إِلَى اللَّحَدِ. Learn the knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Cradle is not the age of learning by any means, according to the research of any of the worldly scientists. But the Holy Prophet has said, who is the biggest of all the scholars, that أُطْلُبُ الْعِلْمَ مِنَ الْمَهْدِ. Seek knowledge from the cradle. So there are things which have to be learned from the cradle as well. But the whole world does not understand what are those things and what are those means of learning. It's never defined in any of the university. I already told you in the beginning, what the Holy Prophet brought us with the knowledge of the unseen is we humans are unable to attain those things on earth. No matter you attain a million degrees from Harvard University or Cambridge or Oxford or Sorbonne, what you learn from these universities can never ever empower you to know what is available in the unseen world. When it can never empower you to know what is available in the unseen world, you can never provide any food for your soul. So can anybody claim that I am an academic person, I'm a very intellectual and qualified person academically, so I don't stand in need of the teachings of Holy Quran and Ahlul Bayt? Ahmaqul humaqa man zanna annahu aqal, ahmaqul nas man zanna annahu aqalun nas. Amir al-Mumin al-Islam has already said, the most stupid of all the people is the person who thought that he is the most intellectual of them. He's the most stupid actually. So, we find that we have to learn, and what we learn we have to practice. If we don't practice, the knowledge is gone. Maybe the people consider a person to be knowledgeable, but that's the fault of the people. The knowledge is a nur in the soul. If you don't practice, it's gone. Imam Ali al-Islam has said, مَنْ عَمِلَ بِعِلْمِهِ فَهُوَ عَالِمٌ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِعِلْمِهِ فَلَيْسَ بِعَالِمٌ. Someone who practices his knowledge is the scholar. Someone who does not practice is not the scholar. So if you want to know about a scholar, don't look at what he says. That's not the criteria. Certainly we will look to what he says in order to learn and improve. But if you want to judge his personality, don't look at what he says. Look at what he practices. You understand the point? Because a scholar, in the definition of Imam Ali al-Islam, is the one who practices. As much as he practices, that's exactly the magnitude of his ilm and knowledge. All the rest of the ilm that a person may sound, he may speak about, that he does not practice, is not his knowledge. That knowledge actually, he doesn't have the nur of that knowledge. He just had memorized those words. But the nur, knowledge is nur. The nur and light does not enter into his soul. If it enters, the soul will always oblige you to do what you believe. And that is the reason why the verse of Holy Quran, which I recited in the beginning, that وَقَيَّفْنَا لَهُمْ قُرَنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we understand in light of this verse, Allah provides companions to certain people who present the evil in the form of good. The bad in the form of good, in other words. They are doing bad things, but they don't understand they are doing bad things. They consider it to be very good. Why does this situation happen to them? Because of their friends providing bad things, presenting the bad things in the form of good things, and that's how these people end up becoming deserving of the wrath and punishment of Allah. Why this whole scenario happened to these people? Because they did not practice what the ilm and knowledge they acquired. That's the reason why they end up in having these kinds of friends. Because you get what you deserve. Allama Sabatabai Rahmatullah alayh, when he goes to Najaf, we find he doesn't have no friends in the Najaf, in the city of Najaf. And he writes in his biography, I had no friends, no acquaintances in the whole city. I went straight to the haram of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He's a religious student, he arrived recently in the city of Najaf. He's a young boy who tomorrow will write the biggest tafsir of Holy Quran in our 1400-year-old history. And one of the greatest orafa and scholars. And we have to look at these personalities because they have already went and crossed they have went through and reached the destination. So those who have already reached the destination can be serving as some of the best guides for us. Because they already went through, and we are still lacking behind. So look how they tread the path. He says, I went straight to Najaf, to the haram of Amir Mumineen. Like when we go to Mashhad, we first go to the restaurant, to a hotel, and we rest there for a while, and then on the next morning, after taking food, after maybe shopping on our way, going to the haram of Imam Ruhu alayhi salam, maybe we go for shopping first, and later on, after taking a rest, after having food, after doing the shopping, then later on we spare some time to go for the haram of the Masoom Imam. Look at our behaviors. Look at the list of the preferences we have. Look at his preferences from day one. See, did you practice what you learned by now? Keep on asking that question to you over and over again at every stage of your life. Did you practice what you have learned by now? If you have, Allah will give you that level of ma'rifat, because ma'rifat is generated by two factors, ilm and amal. Ilm alone can never provide you ma'rifat. And you can never practice without knowing. If you start practicing without ilm, you are actually inviting to go farther away from your desired destination. That's the way it is. If I would like to go to, for example, Vancouver, and I take like Trans-Canada 1, I guess that's the name of your highway, Trans-Canada 1 towards the west, what if I take the Trans-Canada 1 towards the east? Will I reach Vancouver? No matter how far I go, I will become even actually farther from my destination, which was Vancouver. Because I start practicing without knowledge. I did not seek that I was supposed to go in that direction, instead of going in this direction. So if you start practicing without amal, you are getting farther away from your destination. And if you practice on your knowledge, that you're going to provide, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide ma'rifat in your soul. So we find that he went straight to the haram of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and he said that, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, he said, recited the ziyarat and everything, said salam to the Mawla, and then asked him directly, that I came here to seek your knowledge. Why don't we talk to our Imam? Actually, we should spare some time in our busy life to talk to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam every day. We should try. He's alive. He's alive. He's here. He listens. He's there on earth. He listens. He's our supreme leader. Why don't we discuss our affairs directly with him? Is he unable to listen? God forbid. What image do we have about our Imam? If he is eligible to listen, if he has the power to listen, even if he is far, far away, he knows everything, he knows what we think in our hearts. He knows everything that we believe and say and do. Why don't we talk directly to our Imam and discuss our issues with him directly and seek help of Allah through the Imam of our time? So that's what our Urafa do. So he talked straight to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam and said that, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I came to seek your knowledge. Isn't he the gateway to the knowledge of Islam, knowledge of the Holy Prophet, أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمِ وَعَلِيٌّ بَابُهَا, I am the city of knowledge and Ali is the gateway. And actually some of the riwayat tell us that the Prophet has said another, because different narrations have been narrated in different words, in different ways. Another wording of the same hadith says, مَنْ آتَ الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَبْوَابِهَا اُدَّ تَارِقًا, whosoever arrives other than the door, other than the gateway, it's considered to be a thief. So anybody who tries to enter the city of knowledge by turning his back towards Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, try to achieve knowledge from any other way and means, certainly he's not going to get it, but in addition he's also counted as a thief. So, I came to seek your knowledge, this is your knowledge, and I want to be a student of yours. So help me out. As he was talking to Imam Ali alayhi salam, he found that the biggest arif of Najaf, Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Qazi al-Tabatabai, the biggest arif of Najaf in those days, one of the biggest urafa of ours, he put his hand on the shoulder of this young boy, Allama Tabatabai of tomorrow, and he took him straight to his house. So what happened actually is that Imam Ali alayhi salam sent Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Qazi Tabatabai to go and help out this young boy who came to his haram. So when you seek help from Amir al-Mu'mineen, that's how he does. The highest of the scholars, one of the highest of the scholars, came to help this person who is coming with sincerity and ikhlas. And he took him into his house, and Allama Tabatabai actually throughout his stay in the city of Najaf, he stayed in the house of Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Qazi Tabatabai. And he raised him just like his son. When you are raised in the house of some of the biggest ulama available, what is going to happen? That's because of our ikhlas and sincerity. And that's because he has taken out all the material interests out of his mind. Taken out the love of this dunya. Because dunya, the love of dunya and love of Ahlul Bayt can never be combined together. The more we are inclined towards dunya, the more we quit the love of Ahlul Bayt, which is the love of Rasulullah, which is the love of Allah. They are one and the same thing. يَبْنَ آدَمْ بِقَدْرِ مَا يَمِيلُ قَلْبُكَ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا أُخْرِجُ مَحَبَّتِي مِنْ قَلْبِكَ أَوْ عَنْ قَلْبِكَ. O the son of Adam, the more you are inclined towards this dunya, I will take out my love away from your heart. فَإِنِّي لَا أَجْمَعْ. In Hadith al-Qudsi we read, because I'm not going to combine my love and the love of dunya in one heart. It's only one heart. Allah created two hands, two feet, two eyes, two ears, but He created one heart. مَا جَعَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ. Allah did not create two hearts in any person. One heart is supposed to have one love in it, not two. Inshallah, one of my speeches in your town will be on the subject of love, inshallah. But what I was telling you is that you get what you deserve. That's the bottom line. If you deserve something, if you deserve a certain level of tawfiq from Allah, certain level of opportunity from Allah, you are going to get it because you deserve it. Allah is not a miser. Bukhl and misery is a hated attribute. And Allah, we say, Subhanallah, Allah is above and beyond all the evil attributes. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a miser. Why I fail to receive that level of knowledge? Why I fail to receive this kind of material or non-material, metaphysical, ma'nari blessing of Allah? A lot of people in the society receive that blessing. I fail to receive. Why? Because Allah is a miser. He gave it to him. He did not give it to me. Na'uzubillah. Allah is not a miser. I did not deserve it. He deserved it. Those who deserve, they get the blessings. So actually the ball is always in our court. We need to make ourselves deserving in our spirituality to get the blessings of Allah. And Allah is always ready to give. He's not a miser. And Imam Mahdi al-Islam is not a miser. Na'uzubillah. Because he is the Wasatatul Khair. He is the means of giving away all the blessings of Allah. Since he is the closest, every single blessing of God arrives first to the Imam of the time. And through him it's distributed to the whole universe. Because he is the closest. So every blessing is distributed by the Imam of the time to the whole universe. The animals, the fishes, the birds, the mountains, the rivers, the lakes, the humans, the jinns, the angels, every existence in the universe is receiving different kinds of blessings according to what they deserve through the Imam of our time. That is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam today. We did not receive a lot of blessings. Look at the prayers of some people when they are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our prayers are, a lot of people are like this. Our prayers are, we talk about material blessings. When we demand things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all what we are focusing is more and more material blessings of Allah. This is our level of ma'rifat. This is how you learn about the personality of a person. What are his likes and dislikes? Where does he stand? What is the level of their ma'rifat? As you step into the grave, nobody is going to ask what kind of car did you drive? What was this, your checking account? What are they going to ask? What is going to benefit on the day of judgment and inside your grave is what is the level of your ma'rifat about the Imam of your time. It is exactly the ma'rifat of Allah. The ma'rifat of the Imam is exactly equal to the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without a difference. Because they are the ones who are the representatives of God. They represent Allah on earth. Not just on earth, but in the whole universe. We need to understand. So, if we deserve something, if we practice on what we have learned by now, God will provide us with some of the nice friends to sit around with them. And if we did not practice what we have learned, Allah gives warnings. And after a few warnings, like in Urdu we say, Allah ki lathi mein awaaz nahi hai. You know, when Allah punishes somebody, it doesn't make him necessary, he doesn't necessarily announce, hey guy, I am punishing you because of this and this and this. We need to understand, through all those teachings of Quran and Al-Bayt, which we already have in our hands. We need to understand and open up our eyes and realize, why are we treated like this? By God. There's nobody who's going to come and announce and tell it to us. And we are humans, we are not animals. We are awarded with intellect. We must realize by the knowledge already provided to us. Why did I fail to get nice friends? Again, another non-material blessing of Allah, another ma'navi blessing of Allah to receive a good and muttaqi friend. I failed to have muttaqi friends. I had bad friends who kept on influencing me and asking me going to places, doing things which are hated by Allah and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Imam Ali has said, "Man kana yu'minu billah wal yawm al-akhir, fala yaqumu makana raybah." Someone who believes in Allah and on the Day of Judgment should not stand in a place of tuhmat. You want to see a good movie? Here's a very nice and Islamic movie without any haram contents. Still, Islam says it's not allowed to go to a cinema, a movie theater. Because movie theater, a cinema, is a place of raiba and tuhmat. That's the place if any religious person goes there, the society does not look at him in a good sense, in a good way. They consider the guy is then there to see something which is wrong. So why are you putting yourself at a place which is considered to be a place of slander and tuhmat in the eyes of the earth? Even if you are intending to watch a good thing, Islam says, watch it at a place which is also good. For doing a good job, find a place which is also good. Don't go to places which is a place of tuhmat. Such a nice and beautiful and delicate teachings of Islam. Suhbatul Ashrar, Imam Ali has said, Tūrithu su adzanne bil akhyar. That's the Mazmūn al-Riwayah. That sitting around with the evil people causes su'urvan, bad thoughts about the good people. There are some people who start talking against the Islamic leadership, talking against our great scholars and maraji, talking against our high-level personalities. Again, they were nice people a few years back. One of the major reasons in the knowledge of Islamic morality is because of the evil friends that they have acquired, and those friends have influenced them to start having a bad mouth. Again, this is nothing new. It has been told by Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam to us. He has said, "Iyyakum wa suhbat al-ashrar." Keep away, Imam Ali warning us, keep away from the suhbat and companionship of evil people. فَإِنَّهُمْ كَنَّارِ Because they are just like fire. مُبَاشَرَتُهَا تُحْرِكْ If you bring your hand close to the fire, it's going to burn you. Imam Ali considers the evil people, evil companions, just like burning fire. If I'm sitting around with an evil person, I'm burning my soul. I don't realize. Imam Ali is realizing because he has the knowledge of ghaib, which I don't. My soul is burning. My body, I don't see it. Because again of those hijabat and curtains of the sins that we have on our eyes, which block the real power of vision that goes through and sees the unseen. We don't have that vision like our Urafa has. Some of our Urafa look at the people in their real faces. The faces of the soul. I told you the other night that our soul has eyes, it has ears. It has power of listening, power of seeing. It has so many miraculous powers awarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't see the real face. It has color. And that is the real color which we cause, we make, we attain that color through our ilm and amal and ma'rifat, which is generated by the ilm and amal. And that would be the real color of others on the Day of Judgment, regardless of our complexion in this world. So, some of our Urafa have actually demanded from Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, please take away this vision from my eyes. I'm really sick and tired of looking at people in their real forms. You meet with this guy and you find him in the form of a fox, in the form of a wolf, in the form of a pig. Seems to be a very nice looking human. Apparently from his body, but his soul's appearance is like a wolf. And these are seeing the people in their real faces. So they actually, some of them had demanded from Allah, please take away this vision because I am sick and tired of seeing people in their real faces. So Imam Ali has said, don't be companions with the evil people. They are like fire. مُبَاشَرَةُهَا تُحْرِقْ. As soon as you get close, you get in contact with the fire, it burns. And we find in the time of Imam Naqi alayhi salam, Abu Hashim al-Ja'fari, one of the very great and respectable companions of Imam Naqi alayhi salam, he met with Imam Naqi alayhi salam, and Imam Naqi said, why do you sit with Abdul Rahman ibn Ya'qub? Abu Hashim says, Mawla, well, because Imam said, because that guy, he had bad, false opinions about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has false beliefs about Allah. Abu Hashim said, well, I don't believe what he believes in. I have a different belief. Imam said, Imma jalassa ma'ahu wa taraktana. Either, you have two choices. Either you sit with him and leave us, or you sit with us and leave him. He said, Yabna Rasulullah, I have my own belief. My belief is not harmed with his belief. He believes in whatever he believes in. I have nothing to do with his belief. Imam said, don't you fear that if the la'nat of Allah arrives, it includes you as well, because you were also sitting there with him? In other words, don't you fear that? Remember what Imam Ali Rasulullah has said in another hadith, that, you know, talking about the drinking of alcohol, those people who drink, if you're not supposed to sit in a place where others are drinking alcohol, because فَإِنَّ اللَّعْنَةَ إِذَا نَزَلَتْ إِذَا نَزَلَتْ أَمَّتْ مَنْ فِي الْمَجْلِسِ. Whenever the curse of Allah arrives, it includes all those who were available there in the gathering. No one can say, well, I was not drinking. Fine, you were not drinking. But that's not it. You are practicing one ruling of Islam. The second ruling still remains. And the second ruling says, you're not even supposed to sit along with them. But you did not practice. And that's why you are also deserving, because of sitting with those who are drinking alcohol, you also became deserving of the same la'nat and curse which they deserved. So, in the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, one of his Shia people, one of his followers, Najashi, called Najashi, he drank alcohol. A masoom imam can never let it go. We compromise because we have material interests with people. We find people doing wrongs and harams. We don't even stop them because we don't want to harm our material relationship with the people of this dunya. So we are not ready to do Amr bil Maruf and Nahi al Munkar because that guy will feel bad about it. Imam Mahdi feels bad about that. We don't care. Our relationship should not be harmed with that rich person or that influential person or whomsoever. So Imam can never let it go because Imam is adil, the biggest level of adil imaginable to a human. Imam, as soon as the witnesses were there, as soon as it was proven Islamically that a Najashi drank alcohol although he was a Shia, Imam slashed him with 80 slashes. That is the punishment of Allah. And he sent him to jail. For one night, Najashi spent in the jail. On the next morning, he was taken out, and Imam Ali slashed him with 20 further slashes. In the Western society, they talk against Islamic punishments. Although 100,000 civilians are already killed in the name of freedom and democracy, the bullets used against the poor nation with the uranium-tipped bullets, which has been causing so many harms on those who are not even killed, are influenced and affected with those bullets. But no mention about that, because that's done in the name of freedom and democracy. That's okay.
And some people are buying it. Some people are buying this argument. Again, that's what they deserve. They deserve to buy and they deserve to be in companions with these people. Fine, that's what they deserve. That's the level of their ma'rifat. That's the level of their ilm and amal. That's what they strive to be. Those who have ilm and taqwa, they don't buy these nonsense. Because they deserve higher. That's what they strive for. You get what you deserve. So, Najashi asked Imam Ali Islam that, Ya Amir al-Mumineen, 80 slashes that you slashed me, those are fine. That's the punishment of Allah for someone who drinks alcohol and it's proven Islamically before the judge. But what about the for next 20 that you slashed? Imam said, that is litajarrika. That is because of your tajarri. Tajarri in Arabic means your negative courage. Courage is positive and negative. Sometimes you have courage to obey the command of Allah no matter what. That courage is very appreciated in Islam. Sometimes you have a negative courage, that means courage to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is strongly condemned. In Arabic, there's a different word for the negative courage. And that is called tajarri. These 20 are because of your negative courage towards the, because you drank Shahr Ramadan in the month of Ramadan. If you do some good thing in a good time at a good place, you have good rewards, higher rewards. If you do a bad thing in a sacred time or a sacred place, the punishment increases in Islam. The same wrong if somebody performs in Toronto has a different punishment, and the same wrong if somebody performs on Mecca has a huge difference in the punishment. Because he, in addition to violating the law, is also violating the sanctity of that sacred place. So the punishment is different in Islam. Or the same sin done in the month of Ramadan, for example, has a different punishment because that's a sacred time. He is violating the sacred sanctity of those days. So Imam Ali said that those 20 were because of your violation, your negative courage, about violating the sanctity of the holy month of Ramadan. And this guy, when he found this kind of adalat and justice, people were fed up of the adalat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. They were fed up of his zulm. He was not zalim, na'uzubillah. People didn't like his adalat. And that's why some people killed him, because of his adalat. Because they're not ready to digest the high level justice. They wanted illegitimate favors, which Imam Ali is not ready to give any illegitimate favor. Are we ready to embrace adl and justice? Do we really ask this question, pose this question to your own self, that are we ready to hate zulm in its totality? Then we are a lover of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Then we are a lover of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. If we hate zulm, and tomorrow we will be, inshallah, supporting him to establish justice in the whole world. Because Islam loves justice. So, Najashi found the justice of Amir al-Mu'mineen, which he disliked, that level of justice. And he fled away and joined Muawiyah. And when he joined Muawiyah, some people came up and said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, you would have done a little bit, you know, some favor, you should have attracted him towards your side. Now you see this guy, you lost one of your companions, one of your friends, and he changed sides, he went to your enemy. Why didn't you had a little bit polite behavior to attract? There were silly people who used to come and give advices to the masoom imam, who is already enjoying the highest level of unseen knowledge. But there are a lot of silly people around in different communities. So Imam Ali, look at the reply of Imam Ali alayhi salam, مَا كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذَ الْمُظِلِّينَ عَضَدًا. And I'm finishing my speech. I'm not here to take assistance from the misguiding people to be my helpers. I do not want to seek help from the misguiding people. Anyone who is part of Muzillin and who is misguiding, I don't want to make him as my helper in the divine mission. Look at his high moralities. Every step of the way, we cannot violate the law of Allah. Because the goals never justify the means in Islam. Every single of the means has to be legal and acceptable in the eyes of Allah. Every step of our way towards our destination has to be lawful, correct, legal and haq. We cannot do even the slightest haram in order to achieve a halal, in order to achieve a good goal. The goal no longer remains good because you have to do a haram for that. This is Islam. So these, we are supposed to have nice companions all the way in our life. Companions like the companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Because he has set the highest of the examples for us. And he said that Ma ara ashaban awfa min ashabi. Wala ahla baytin abar wa awfa min ahli bayti. I don't see companions more sincere and faithful. I don't find anyone having companions more faithful than my companions. Nor do I find Ahlul Bayt, people of my family, more faithful and more good. Anybody having people of his family more sincere and more faithful and more good than the people of my family. Certainly his companions are the highest and most faithful ones. Most faithful ones. Because we find that Imam Hussain alayhi salam, he had, when he prayed the Fajr prayers on the morning of Ashura, the Fajr prayer was different. The Fajr prayers has a lot of difference than the Zuhr prayers. At the time of Fajr, he had a Muazzin with him in his caravan, Hajjaj ibn Masruq, a Sha'bi, who used to give azan in the caravan of Imam Hussain. But in that morning, Imam Hussain did not ask Hajjaj ibn Masruq to say the azan. Instead, he asked Ali Akbar to say the azan. And Ali Akbar, alayhi salam, said the azan in the lahja of Rasulullah, in the tone of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after saying the azan, they all prayed, they did tayammum, and they prayed behind the imamat of Imam Hussain. But in the Fajr time, we find the difference is that, one of the differences is that Imam Hussain is leading the prayers, and everyone is standing behind the Imam. All the Bani Hashim are there, all the Ashab are there, and no one is standing in front of the Imam. Whereas when we find the time of Zuhr arrives, there is a difference. A lot of Ashab are already Shaheed by now, and there are very few remaining. Because Umar ibn Sa'd said that be a witness. He said to his army, be a witness before Yazid that I am the first person who threw the arrow towards Hussain ibn Ali. And as soon as he said and threw the arrow, 4,000 arrows arrived towards the Khiyam of Imam Hussain. And several Ashab of Imam Hussain became Shaheed in this first attack. As it 4,000 arrows, so at the time of the Zuhr prayers, he finds that few of the Ashab are remaining there by now, and the Bani Hashim are there, and then Imam Hussain, then Abu Salama came forward and said to Imam Hussain that this is the time of Zuhr prayers. Imam looked at the sky and said, Naam, Hara Awwal Waqtaha. Yes, that's the first time of the prayers. ذَكَرْتَ الصَّلَاةَ جَعَلَكَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ الزَّاكِرِينَ. You recalled me, you reminded me with the prayers. May Allah include you among those who have prayed and those who have remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Imam asked Habib ibn Mazahir to go and ask these people to stop the war because Hussain wants to pray. Habib went there and said to the army of Yazid to stop fighting. And they said that, well, no prayers of Hussain are acceptable by denying the Khilafat of Yazid. None of the prayers of Hussein are acceptable. Habib got angry on this remark and he started to fight, but Imam Hussein stopped him that this is the time of prayers. Habib came back and then Imam asked Sa'id and Zuhair, two of his great companions, to stand in front of the Imam. And that is the second difference between the Fajr prayers and the Zuhair prayers in Karbala, that now two people are standing in front of Imam. Sometimes when the arrow is coming towards Imam Hussein, Sa'id moves forward and takes the arrow over his chest so that it doesn't strike Imam Hussein. And sometimes Zuhair moves forward and he sees all the arrows coming so that Imam Hussein is kept secure. And about the time Imam Hussein said his final salam of the Zuhair prayers, we find these two companions, they fell down on the ground of Karbala and they said the last salam to Imam Hussein. And Imam Hussein, look at the love of Imam Hussein. Imam came close to Sa'id. He took the hand on his lap. And Sa'id said to Imam Hussein, Hal Basaita Yamya Rasulullah, were I faithful towards you? O the son of the messenger, were I faithful towards you? And Imam said, Naam, Anta Amami Fil Jannah. Certainly, you were faithful towards me. And you will be ahead of me in the paradise. And the same is the remark of Zuhair. You also said the same thing. Hal Basaita Yamya Rasulullah. And Imam replied with the same answer. Certainly, that is what we witness, that these companions will be ahead before Imam Hussein, and that is what he has informed us. As-salamu alayka ya Rab.
Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa shay'a'nu al-lazina zalamu ayyaman qalabin yanqalibun inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'oon. إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين يا حسين